Good to see you tonight. Glad that you're here. We have opportunity to gather to worship God in song and prayer and study of His Word. And we pray that as we open His Word and meditate for a few moments upon what God has revealed to us, that it will encourage us, benefit us. If you're not a Christian tonight, we want to encourage you especially to consider and meditate upon the realities of life and death and of your standing before Almighty God. As we are sorrowful for the passing of a loved one of Brother Cameron tonight, we're all reminded that we ourselves will one day pass from this scene. It may be soon, it may be years away, but at any moment, our life may be simply a memory here on this earth. To be ready to meet our God, it's the most important decision that we can ever make in life. And then to live faithfully to Him as a result of choosing to be saved in His Son. It's among these things that we want to particularly urge and encourage this evening, if you're not a Christian, to understand and know that Jesus came to this earth to die on a cross so that you could be saved from your sin, so that you could have the sure hope of heaven, that you could live with God now and live with Him eternally, that it would not merely be some desire, some pie in the sky by and by, but the very essence of who you are, of the life that you live, the choices that you make day by day. So it's toward that end that we turn your attention to the Word of God, that you need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the very Son of God, and that He calls upon you to have faith in Him and to confess your faith among and to others. With your mouth, confession is made unto salvation, the Word of God says. If you're willing to do that tonight and to repent of sin, that is to change your heart about the sin in your life, to know that you've violated God's will, you've sinned against God, and that sin has made you an enemy of God, but that God loves you and wants you to return to Him, wants you to turn away from that sin. If you'll change your heart and repent of your sin tonight, and tonight decide to be baptized into Christ, baptized in water, into a relationship with Jesus, He'll wash your sins away. He will add you to His church, those who are saved, those who are redeemed, and you'll be a child of God. We hope that's your aim, your goal. We hope that will be your decision today. And if it is, we're ready to help you in those things. You can be with God. You can walk with God now and from this day on the rest of your life. As God's people, we certainly want to extend ourselves to each other for prayer, for urging encouragement. And if you need to use this opportunity to make things right where there's sin in your life, then we urge you to respond to the call of the gospel at the end of our study this evening. We began a study this morning about salt and light. You're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world, and we spent some time talking about having an impact like salt in our lives. That just like salt flavors food, Christians are to flavor the world with goodness and righteousness, with holiness and truth. Just as salt, it has a preserving agent against rotting, that our lives are to be in this world as a hedge against the spread of sin. And just as salt creates thirst, our lives are to provide an opportunity for others to have interest in Christ, in the gospel, in the faith that we live, so that they too can participate in salvation. And so we ended our study this morning by making the point that our lives are to present a sharp contrast between the things that are holy and righteous and good and those things that are against the will of God. And as salt, we are to make that contrast. We are to not to be lukewarm. We are not to be apathetic. But we're to be diligent in our faith so that others may desire to come to the mountain of the Lord, that their thirst for salvation can be quenched in the living waters that Jesus provides. Now tonight we're going to talk about being the light of the world. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, Jesus said, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." A city that's on a hill is apparent to all. And this is, again, a very easy figure to understand. It's very clear that God wants our life to be obvious in a dark world of sin. The city that's on the hill is not hidden. It's not obscured. It is brilliant. And it is a point of light that others may see and that others may be led to. They have direction, just as the North Star gives direction to the mariner or to somebody who's camping. You know, if you don't know how to find the North Star, you need to learn how, because it is the true navigation. It gives you the true direction. Well, Jesus, as we'll see in a minute, says that He is the light of the world. But note, please, that now those who are citizens of His kingdom are lights. You're the light of the world. You're to provide an obvious illumination of what is right and good and holy and true in a world that is enveloped in darkness, the darkness of sin and selfishness, of doubt and fear. The world is shrouded in the fear of death. We as Christians can see death from an entirely different point of view. And as an illustration of the point, how we address death becomes a point of light for somebody who never considered that death can be the opening and the passage to glory and to honor. Not something to be dreaded, but something to be anticipated. Talking with Maury tonight, he said, "Boy, sometimes you just want the Lord to come real quick to remove all the trials and all the difficulties." And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul... Interestingly, I just written the sword tip for tonight or for tomorrow, and it's on that. Paul had said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Are you an obvious light in how you view life and death? I mean, that's just one application of the point. A city that's on a hill is obvious. Its lights are clear. It gives direction in the darkness. What our values are should be distinct. What our faith is, what our practice is as we live our faith sets us apart in such a dramatic fashion that it is like the light in the vast darkness. It stands out in a very obvious, clear, unobscured way. And consequently, our life then begins to give guidance. We couldn't have sung a better song than before the lesson. Let the lower lights be burning. God, the light of mercy, from the lighthouse of heaven has shone the light of truth. But you and I are lights on the shore. And a seaman in the turmoil and stresses of life and the sin that drowns the soul is looking for some direction, some guidance, some help to make it to the shore. You can help save the distressed, save the lost by the choice that you make to be a light, to be an obvious light, so that there's no mistake that the life that you're living is a life that leads to God, leads to heaven. You're the light of the world. You're a city set on a hill. But look at the next verse. He said, "People don't light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house." We don't wire our houses with electricity today and put the outlets at, with the electricity and turn on the switch and have the light to then put a blanket over it or put a cover on over it so that it doesn't shine. They didn't light a lamp. They didn't get their little lamp and put the oil in it and trim the wick and light it just to put a bucket over it. That's not what a light is for. He said, we are not Christians so that our light can be extinguished by making choices that do not distinguish us from the world. It's like the salt issue. We've got to put sin to death. We talked about this morning. We've got to make a sharp contrast. It is against what is against the natural course of things to light a lamp, to turn on a light, and then cover it up. Because the very purpose, the very function of a light is to illuminate. And so that's the point Jesus is making. You see, to choose to be a Christian, to choose to be baptized into Christ and now be saved from our sin, but then to continue to live in sin or to go back to sin is totally against what we are as lights in the world. It extinguishes the very light that we're to be to others and for others so that they may have the illumination of righteousness. They may have that good example. Remember, Paul told Timothy, be an example. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example in word and life and manner of life and love and faith and purity. Set the pattern. Function as a light, brethren. We've got to remember that others are watching us. Others are looking at us. You are a light to someone. It may be your husband. It may be your wife. It may be your children. It may be a grandparent that's looking at you. It may be a stranger. It may be someone at school. But someone is looking and you have an opportunity to show the way of righteousness. To speak a word of truth. A word of guidance. To call attention to the Word of God. To call attention to the better way, to the godly way. It's a very simple figure, but it is full of the reality of what it means to be living for God. Functioning as a light to people who are blinded in sin and by sin. Thirdly, in verse 16, Jesus talks about the purpose that we have as the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, the purpose of being a light and your life being a light in the dark world of sin is not to glorify you, but to glorify your Father. I mean, we're just functioning the way we should function. The light bulb is just functioning. It doesn't get any particular honor for doing what it's supposed to do, giving us some light. We're thankful that it functions so that its purpose is accomplished. When we function as the light of the world, there's a purpose attached to it so that God is glorified, that others have an opportunity for their salvation, that they have an example. Now, they're going to make a choice. They're going to decide. I mean, the light can shine and we can decide to turn away from the light and walk in darkness. That's up to us. A lot of people choose that spiritually. Have the light of truth in front of them. Have the Word of God before them. Have the godly example of a Christian to consider and to follow as an example. And can decide to be selfish, to be prideful, to follow the desires of the flesh, can choose sin and lose their souls. But you see, that'll be on them. What's on us is to be the light of the world, to live in the light of truth, the light that Jesus provides and that He is, so that others can see the good works of faith, that the activity of faith in our life. You remember Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared that we should, that He afore prepared that we should walk in them. We walk in the good works of God. We accomplish that, the task put before us. We do the work of being a light, and others can see that and be brought to faith and salvation. See, the truth of the matter is, if we don't set the example as a light of the world to someone else, then who are they going to look at? What example are they going to have if you're not that example for them? You may be the only one in their life. You may be the only example. And so we take up that responsibility. We take up that purpose so that others can glorify God, that they can have the opportunity to learn truth, to see it lived, and to be drawn to the Father as well, to their own salvation. Now, that said, let's go over to Philippians 2 that John read for us. In Philippians 2, 14 through 16. As Paul uses the same figure, and he does so by beginning to say, and he's been talking about being obedient Christians and living with reverence and godly fear and allowing God to accomplish His will in our lives by a life of obedient faith in verses 12 and 13. He continues the thought by saying, do all things without complaining and disputing. Don't be mumbling, murmuring and complaining and disputing among yourselves, that you may become harmless or blameless and harmless, that you may be innocent and not guilty of sin in such matters. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So here's the contrast that we were talking before about salt, a sharp contrast between you and a crooked and perverse generation, people who care not for God, who are twisted in thinking and in their values, corrupt, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You are distinct. You are obvious. You are functioning as a light. You have a purpose that produces blamelessness, harmlessness. Okay, that sets an example. How's this accomplished? Holding fast the word of life. We cannot be lights in the world without the Bible in our hand. We cannot function as the obvious light to bring others to God without the Bible, without the word of life. We just can't do it. It's kind of like expecting the flashlight to work without batteries. If we're not holding the word of life, we're not going to be lights in the world. See, unless we're allowing it to define us, to shape us, to mold us, to complete us, then what are people going to see? And they're not going to see what they need to see. And as Paul goes on to say, what he wanted to do was so that he would be able to rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain or labored in vain. He said, as you distinguish yourself as lights in the world and distinguish yourself from the world, I have cause to rejoice. When Christ returns, my labor will have been fulfilled. It will not have been empty and pointless. As he's encouraging, he's exhorting those Christians. Meet the purpose you have. Be the obvious light in a world of darkness. And function in blamelessness. Function in holiness. Function as a light that God wants you to be. Jesus said in John 8 and 12, I am the light of the world. Jesus is is the obvious light of truth who came to function so that we could have light and walk in light. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The light Jesus gives is a light that leads us to eternal life, because He removes the death of sin when we trust and obey Him. We put our faith in Him. Now, turn with me to John 9 in verses 4 and 5. And He uses this idea again when He's about to heal a blind man. A man who had lived his entire life in darkness. And Jesus said, this is going to be an opportunity for the work of God to be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You see, here's a man he cannot see. He's been blind from the day of his birth. Darkness. He'd never seen a sun rise or set. He'd never seen the light of a lamp or of a fire. But Jesus is about to change that. You see, sin brings us into darkness. So that we don't see the good things of God. So that we don't see the good blessings of God. So that we are enveloped in darkness. In moral decay. And ultimately eternal separation from God. If we continue in that darkness. But Jesus says, while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Now, Jesus, of course, continues to be in the world through the truth. That is, that gives us light and life. Remember, He told the Christians, holding forth the word of life. Jesus is the light, and we now are to believe in the light and follow the light. John 12, 35 and 36. Jesus said, a little while longer the light is with you. While you have the light, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. And he who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. All right, that's pretty obvious. You walk in the darkness, you're going to stumble. You're going to fall. You don't know where you're going. And the darkness is going to overwhelm you. So while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Now, I wonder if we've ever thought about it in that way, that we believe in the light. Of course, we do believe in the light, don't we? Because when it's dark, we turn it on. We believe it's going to help us. Right? We believe in the light. Question is, do we believe in Jesus? Do we believe in Him? Are we willing to commit our life to Him? We commit our life to the light. When it's dark, we turn it on. We go out tonight to drive. We're going to turn on our headlights. We're going to commit our life to that light. So that we can see the way home. Jesus is the way home to heaven. He gives us a light that leads us out of sin. And puts us on the path to eternal life. So He says, while you have the light, walk in the light. Walk while you have the light. Follow the light. Believe in the light. He's the light. Believe in Him. Trust Him. What He says is true. The direction He shows us to go is right. That's where we put our faith. That's where we put our confidence. That's where we know we have a sure hope. And we have the protection of the light that leads the way and protects us from the darkness. Now, in 1 John 1, turn with me there, please. Remember, John wrote in verse 7 of 1 John 1, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. In this context, God Himself is the light. And He calls us to walk in or practice the truth, to walk in that light. Let's read beginning in verse 5. This is the message, 1 John 1, 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. God has no darkness. He is light. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, darkness stands for sin here, for error, we lie and do not practice the truth. You see, the truth corresponds to light. Error, sin, corresponds to darkness. We say we're with God who is light, but we're walking in error, we're walking in sin, then we're lying. We're not practicing the truth. But if if we walk in the light. That is, if we practice the truth. You see, verse 6, practice the truth, is verse 7, walk in the light. As He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's that very cleansing from sin that enables us to share with God as we walk in His truth, as we walk in His light. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. Do you see there? He talks about the light. He talks about the truth. He talks about His Word. Walking in the light means we're practicing truth. We're practicing His Word. And when we sin, we confess our sin as Christians. We press on in faith. We don't allow sin to overwhelm us. But we put our confidence in the light. And we walk in the light. And we, in confessing our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us. We don't continue in it. We don't keep practicing sin. We keep practicing truth. Walking in the light so as to please the Lord. We're called children of light in Ephesians chapter 5. Look at that verse. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. Apostle Paul said, "For you were once darkness." We were in the darkness of sin and death. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. By the way, that's what we once were, you see. But now, he says, rather expose them, reprove them. For it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed. All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Whatever makes manifest is light. Again, remember, where there's darkness, we turn on the light, and the darkness is exposed, it's removed. The sin is removed when we turn on the light of truth. And when our lives as children of light live acceptably to the Lord, we bear the fruit of the Spirit, he said there in verses 9 and 10. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. What's acceptable to the Lord? Well, the fruit of goodness and righteousness, uprightness and truth. That's what we choose to bear. We choose now not to commune with darkness. We don't have anything in common with darkness any longer. We are children of light. What communion has light and darkness? Paul would say in another place, 2 Corinthians 6. What do they share in common? Nothing. And so as the Christian is a child of light, he goes on to say in verse 14, let us be spiritually alert. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. All right, there he is. Christ will give you light. He will illuminate your path. But you have to wake up. Be spiritually alert. Don't be apathetic. Don't be negligent in your faith. Don't be spiritually dead by going back to darkness. But walk in the light. Practice the truth. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 8 uses the same terminology. Brethren, we are not in darkness so that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of the night or of darkness. We're sons of the light. So let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. We're to be vigilant. We're to be watchful. We're to be on guard about the encroachment of darkness. And when darkness starts approaching, we make sure the light's shining. After all, when the sun goes down, we turn on our lights. We do that almost without thinking in this physical world. Why is it in the spiritual world it becomes such a laborious chore, such a hard thing that when sin begins to encroach, the darkness of evil begins to try to find a place in our heart that we object to turning on the light? See, we're to remove the darkness. Light, Jesus gives us light. We're to walk in that light. And we're to bear the fruit of that light. He says we're to be sober as in the day, verse 8. Say, we're to be alert, watchful, sober-minded, clear-thinking. And again, verse 10. Christ died for us, and so whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. We live with Him. Not be drawn into a spiritual apathy, negligence. Or let sin begin to creep in, because that's the darkness, and that will destroy our souls. In John, the first chapter, verses 4 and 5, Jesus is the Son of God, and He is described as the one who has life and light. Let's read that again. Jesus, in John, wrote, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." The word "comprehend" here is probably more properly translated, did not overwhelm it, did not apprehend it, did not seize it and overwhelm it. In other words, Jesus, when Jesus came with life and light, He diffused the darkness of sin and death. Those things did not overwhelm Him. Sin and the sin of the world, it did not win the day. He did. He did. He is the light of the world. So now, you see, He's the one in whom we put our faith, so that we can be the light of the world. That we can be an obvious illumination of goodness and righteousness and truth. That we can function the way He wants us to, so that we bring purpose to our life to help others glorify God through their salvation as well. As the salt of the earth, our life must not lose its effectiveness to influence for good. Remember, Jesus said, "Have salt in yourself." Mark 9 and verse 50. Flavor the world. Preserve it against evil and sin. And allow it, and choose to be one who influences others to help them quench their thirst for salvation in the Son. As a light of the world, Jesus said, don't hide your light. Let your light so shine among men. We live in this world. We live before men, among men. They will see something. Be sure they see light. Be sure they see light. Don't hide your light because you're ashamed of it. Don't hide your light because you're afraid. No. With faith in God, with trust in Jesus as the light of the world, you be a child of light. And make a clear and sharp contrast that will bring others to Jesus. Repent if there's sin in your life. If your light has not been shining the way it should, change your heart. Make a change tonight. In repenting of sin, confess it as a child of God, and He'll forgive the sin. Your light can shine the way it should. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a child of light, because right now you're a child of darkness. And there's only sin and death and darkness. Come to the light in faith. Repent of your sin. Confess your faith in Jesus. Be baptized into Jesus. Be forgiven. Live in the light. Practice His truth. And so glorify Him and set an example of those in your life, so that they too can come to the light. If we can help you obey God, won't you come while we stand and we sing?